It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Troy Spindler.
Yesterday was the longest day of the year, but I have to say, every day without a barn has felt pretty long to me. Losing the barn 3 weeks ago has been inconvenient, to say the least. We just postponed our already late shearing date due to rain. With a barn, we could have easily done it under shelter with a readily available source of electricity. Now we have to wait until July, and we'll have to bring out a generator to power the electric shears. As you might expect, we depended on the barn for quite a lot. The classically designed red and white building was a focal point on the farm, both aesthetically and operationally. We used it every day to corral, monitor, and rotate the sheep. In it, we stored food, water, tools, medical supplies, and a decade's supply of raw wool, not to mention the turkeys. While we felt reliant on the barn for so much, the sheep seemed to be getting along fine without it. In fact, I'd even venture to say their health has been steadily improving lately. Over the past 3 weeks, they have proven their resilience and shown off the magical qualities of their wool coats. They've survived hot days, thunderstorms, and cold, rainy nights without reliable shelter. My instinct is to protect them from these weather events, but theirs is to simply endure them. It is a common conception that barns are where farm animals live. For concentrated farms that primarily feed their animals hay and grain, this is true. The animals spend their time in human-made shelters. But on our small-scale grass-fed farm, the barn is a mere comfort station for the sheep. Their true home is the pasture. Our sheep spent most of their lives out in the forage, even when the barn still stood. Only in winter would they be in the barn for extended periods, because that is where the hay was. This hardiness has always been a blessing, but especially now as we sort out our next steps. Considering their incredible ability to withstand the elements, it's tempting to just let them wander the fields totally free of supervision, but that's not recommended. According to our extension agent, Jason, transmissible diseases are a much greater threat to sheep flocks than the weather, and they are best prevented with intensive flock management. The most common and concerning killer is actually picked up right on the pasture, a microscopic worm, a nematode called Hemuncus contortus, or colloquially as the barber pole worm. Sheep are most likely to pick up the worm from the soil when they eat very short grass. It attaches to the lining of the sheep's gut and proceeds to suck its blood from the inside. With a spiral digestive system, the worm fills with blood and resembles the poles commonly seen outside barbershops, hence the name. Each female can release over 1,000 eggs in a day, which end up in the sheep's feces and back in the soil. An overload of worms will cause anemia in the sheep and kill them in a matter of days. Understandably, Jason got me psyched out about these tiny versions of a sci-fi channel B-movie villain. He said that if we have the worm, it's not good to let the sheep linger too long in heavy use areas, aka where they poop a lot. But after the barn burned down, our options for viable pasture were limited. What was once a barrier separating four different pastures became a treacherous no man's land of debris that precluded access to three of them. The two pastures remaining are quite large, but the sheep definitely have their favorite heavy use spot. We quickly got to work putting up a temporary fence around the wreckage to reestablish better rotation. Then we had to isolate the potential worm carriers. The first thing you gotta check is the mucous membrane under their eyelids. Normally they are nice and pink with blood vessels. Any sheep with white eyelids is anemic and should be treated with deworming medication. Don't treat till you see the whites of their eyes, as they say. Our 10 oldest ewes seem to have the whitest eyelids, so we gave them the meds and isolated them on one side of the wreckage. To be certain, I had to get a close look at their poops. Really close. At 100 times magnification close. Luckily, the Cornell Cooperative Extension generously rents out small microscopes for $5 an hour. So I casually brought several baggies full of sheep poop into their office. They pointed me to the microscope and I got to work. After scanning 8 samples in my allotted hour, I didn't see a single nematode egg. Phew! Perhaps those older ewes just aren't making the blood cells that they used to. Either way, I now feel confident that we don't have the barber pole crisis on our hands. Still, I'm glad we went through all the steps, as they are preventative measures after all. In the same vein, even though the sheep are perfectly happy out on the pasture, we're going to build another barn, just in case.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.